along these lines, what would it be?
It would be exactly that. Intentional, being an intentional good neighbor, one that doesn't do it accidentally, but one who plans to be a good neighbor. I was thinking, for instance, about Cyrus House. And first of all, thank you to your church for all the work you do in the community. We know you volunteer at Ruth and Naomi's. That's fabulous. That's being a good neighbor to ones that the rest of the world has pretty well forgotten. So thank you for that kindness that you put towards Ruth and Naomi's. I was thinking about Cyrus House, and I was thinking about some of the conflict that went around, you know, inviting four youth to come and live in a place downtown. Four. I was hoping that business people would step forward and say, I'd like to mentor one of your kids. Mm-hmm. Would you have them come in and come and talk to me in my business? And I'm happy to teach them some things about how to make a living and maybe mentor that person. Restorative justice, those are all areas where I think the church could be involved. Jackie shines a light, just so you know, in our community. Many people wouldn't talk about this, but...
Jackie, my wife?
Jackie, your wife. Yeah.
Go ahead.
She does. And don't feel jealous, because you do too.
Thank you for saying that.
One of the first times I ever met Jackie was at a community event where she was talking about, you know, the underprivileged and the people who just, children in particular, who grow up in homes that are really very sad and very broken. And some of you are called to be principals and teachers and mm-hmm. people who influence that. That's all about being a neighbor, good neighbor. I would love Chilliwack to shine so other communities say to us, wow, how does your community do that?
Yeah.
How does your community do that? And how do you still keep the lowest taxes in the Lower Mainland? I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
Thank you, everybody.
Well, hold on. Okay. You can stay a bit. I'm going to ask those who would join me. No, you're done, I think, pretty much.
Okay.
The only thing we'd say is, how can we pray for you? So if you want to give us some sense of that, you're welcome to do that. But I'm going to also ask all of us to stand with our mayor, and I'm going to ask a few, if you could even now stand with us. Anybody would want to come forward and lay hands on our mayor, and maybe Jim, if you want to come forward as well, that would be awesome, and just pray for our mayor and our city. But if there are specific things you'd like for your family or for you guys or for our city otherwise, Sharon, would you mention them now even? That'd be great.
Well, thanks so much for that. It's just so sweet to be prayed for and prayed over. When people contact me on social media at the city and say they're praying, it just gives me such peace and such a thrill that people would actually do that. Because it's not about me and it's not about Jim. It really is about the city. It
Amen.
Really is about our city. So I guess for us, if you're praying for us, I think pray for... energy and strength, the ability to not take things personally, that's always a good one, and just to keep shining, because mm-hmm. the day that our light goes out and we don't shine anymore and people go, isn't that a crabby old mare and somebody should take her out to pasture? They have said that once or twice. But the day that they say that is the day, honestly, that I've let down my beautiful Christ, and that's the last thing. I'm not doing this for anyone else but for him. Mm. And for his kingdom and his people and his light, because at the end of this life, it doesn't matter about cities. It matters who goes with us to heaven.
Amen.
And who's with us for eternity.
Amen.
And who walks out of here whole. So there you go.
Including our neighbors. Well done, my friend. Who would like to pray for our mayor here? At least two or three people are, whoever can or
Yay.
Feels led. That'd be awesome. Thank you so much, guys. And wherever you are, just pray silently. That'd be great.
Thank you, Jesus, that you bind us together as Christians mm-hmm. and that it is because of you that we're here, mm-hmm. and that's all that matters. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give these two strength as a couple mm-hmm. as they're leading our city. And I just pray especially for Sharon that she'll really sense you, Holy Spirit, leading her, and that when all the other pressures come, when everything else wants to change her mind, Lord, just help her to go to you first.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you that you go with us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be good neighbors. Teach us that. Amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you so much for the gift of Sharon being our mayor.
Yeah.
I just think that's huge, Lord, that you've placed someone who loves you and loves people. So thank you so much, and that Jim supports her, and that together they're such a strong team, and they're loving neighbors. They have been ever since we've ever known them for 21 years. Mm. So thank you so much for them. And just continue to bless their family and their ministries to our city.
Father, we are honored
to be together here today freely. Mm-hmm. And we're honored that the mayor would join us. But Lord, we're so excited to acknowledge that all of us here are family. Mm-hmm. And that you've given us each significant things within our community. And so, Father, we want to pray and echo the words that have already been spoken about strength and about your spirit resting on this couple, about your spirit moving in our town. Jesus, I pray that you would open our eyes, first of all. Open our eyes to see. Because I know that probably when you do that, it's going to touch our hearts. And that's what I'm asking that you open most of all. Because it's out of our hearts that you can move with power. Lord, when we first investigate faith, we tell people to ask Jesus into their heart and all that kind of stuff. But Lord, that's how we talk. But the reality is you are inside of us. So I'm praying, Lord, that as much as Jim and Sharon acknowledge you as king, that you in fact and indeed would just possess them. That your spirit would move their feet, would move their hands, would move their lips, guide their thoughts, give them wisdom. And those words, Lord, we echo for ourselves. As we walk this journey these next several weeks thinking about neighbors, Lord, I pray that you would give us a new way to see our neighbors. Some of us have neighbors that we kind of privately don't talk so nice about. Mm-hmm. And Lord, you hear all of those conversations just as much as you hear the good stuff. Mm-hmm. So forgive us. Mm-hmm. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we pray that you would pour your love into our hearts for those people that on our own we probably wouldn't love. May that rock our world. In Jesus' name, we ask this because we really do want to be your kingdom at work here in Chilliwack. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Guys.
Thank you.
Just again, just saying thank you to Crossroads Church. You guys have been awesome. Thanks for the invitation to come here today. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. I don't know many mayors who pull off black leather like you do. Like, seriously, that is awesome. I've never worn black leather. And I know what you're thinking, and I'm not gonna. So, thanks for not saying that. Yeah, it's me. That's good. All right. Lots of good. Is that 10 minutes fast? That's 10 minutes late. So what time is it right now?
25:12.
Oh, I got it. Another hour. That's awesome. Okay. Hey, okay, so the big idea for today, your takeaway, if you remember nothing else, this is it. The big idea today is simply this. Christians, you and I who follow Christ, Christians, are called to love their neighbors. And it's Jesus who actually issues that call, right? We know this. We've heard it already. It is the second half of what is described as the great or the greatest commandment, and that second half is literally love your neighbor as yourself. Whose calling is it to love your neighbor? It's yours. It's not mine. It's not the church's. It's yours. For sure, our lives are—they're going to intersect from time to time. But the responsibility to care for your neighbors, like you would care for yourself, is what Jesus calls you to do. This just actually makes mathematical sense. I can't care for all the neighbors in our city. Sharon can't care for all the neighbors in our city, nor can you for that matter. But if all of those who follow Jesus Christ took this commandment seriously, perhaps everybody in Chilliwack would be cared for, and as the mayor's wife said, no one might fall through the cracks. People would feel safe because they're neighbors in your life, who you get to care for, who aren't in my life, and vice versa. And because it's Jesus calling us to do this, we just got to know that in doing it, it'll be good for us and them. So for a moment, let's think about what not loving our neighbors as ourselves might look like. According to, I don't have it up front here. You may have seen it this summer, in August, McLean's magazine article all about this issue, actually, around neighboring and neighbors. And according to that article, in summary, there are two major risks. One, health. Second, politics. In summary, here they are. Humans, the article said, they need face-to-face contact as much as we need air and water. We're very social animals. Those who are surrounded by a tight-knit group of friends who regularly gather to eat and talk will live an average of 15 years longer than others who don't. Quality face-to-face contact fortifies immune systems, calibrates hormones, and increases chances of surviving heart attacks, strokes, AIDS, and cancers. This is what the article was saying. And then it goes on to say, people with the most integrated social lives, in other words, overlapping relationships among friends, family, sports, and other recreational and religious pursuits, says developmental psychologist Susan Pinker in Montreal, have the best prognosis with the most life-threatening diseases when they're interconnected with people. It may even be true with those who suffer dementia, actually. In a 2004 study done in Sweden, they found the lowest prevalence among those with the most extensive social networks. And as you heard there, Pastors Dave, well, actually in the book, they make the argument from their own observations, and I think we would probably agree it's pretty intuitive. Not caring for your neighbor often leads to isolation and fear and misunderstanding, ours and theirs, right? So health impacted. Second, politics. Another researcher of these things suggests that people are settling into neighborhoods not any longer by ethnicity, which was long the case, but by income and lifestyle and, above all, attitude. This researcher says, we are now more insular and more ignorant of the other guy's thinking, and some make matters worse by moving into neighborhoods populated by people who think like they do, and that's why they have moved there. Sociologists call this the big sort. Moving into neighborhoods based on conservative or liberal politics. Take, for example, Toronto. A University of Toronto geographer noted that most of the left political folks chose to live where? Downtown. With the opposite being true of those who were right-wingers outside of the city. So this is it, eh? Which leads me to ask this question, which you'll find in the care group talk sheet in your bulletin every week through the series. And I should tell you even now that next week I won't be here. We'll be away at my family and I for a little getaway to Calgary. Ray is going to be speaking on my behalf. We're going to try to put some notes in the bulletin that you can use in your small group or not. There'll be good questions for you to consider on your own anyway through the week of the study. But in this one, we have this question. In this white sheet, that is the talk sheet. Why did you move to your current residence? Or if you're a student in junior high or senior high, why do you sit where you sit in your classes? We moved down to Wells Road 10 years ago because that's where we were able to affordably rent a home for our family from actually one of our church families so that we could take our time and get a sense of the city and where we might want to settle down. But Wells Road actually settled it for us. Josh went to Evans Elementary School. We began to make friends in the neighborhood. And the longer we stayed on Wells Road, the harder, of course, it became to leave it, right? So when we did move, we moved all the way down the road on Wells Road, around 0.8 kilometers. But I have a friend who lives in Abbotsford. He and his wife decided to move into an all East Indian occupied apartment sort of complex for the express purpose of reaching out to their neighbors in the name of Jesus Christ. Safe to say that Brian Bourne, our president at Columbia Bible College, and his wife Teresa have a fairly good understanding of the call on their lives to be good neighbors. But we might ask, as did someone of Jesus, who's my neighbor? See, this guy was looking for a loophole, and this is a little inside joke for you, Sharon, not a llama loophole. But he was looking for a loophole to not to excuse himself from loving those folks that they might find hard to love or would not have traditionally cared for. Now, that's not good. Pastor Dave alluded to the answer from the Good Samaritan story, who my neighbor is, when he said in the video clip, your neighbor, our neighbor, is anyone around you who's in need. Now, that as a definition, as a descriptor, is sort of good and bad. It's good because we can answer the call of Jesus on our lives based on anyone who God might bring into our lives anywhere at any time, and that's good. And I would argue that that is our mission field, the people in our lives. But saying everybody is my neighbor can also work against us. We can feel overwhelmed by the need to care for everyone and just don't care for anyone. Shut her down. So why don't we just start with the people next door or the students beside our lockers? Because it's very likely that God has placed us there for such a time as this. Paul seems to say this very thing in Acts chapter 17 and the verses on the screen behind me, I believe. From one man, he who is God, made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Why? He goes on to say, does Paul, why did God do this? God did this so that men would seek him and find him. So as points of light in our city, as people see us, they might find who is behind us. He is not far from each one of us, that said, because when we love our neighbors as ourselves, our neighbors might see God in us and be drawn to him. So it seems that we may have our own reasons for moving into certain neighborhoods or sitting where we do in class, but God may also have his reasons, very specific to you. If we agree that it makes sense to start to love our neighbors who are right next to us, then we might also agree that a good place to start to care for them would be to know their names. I have an exercise for you to this very end. There is an insert in your bulletin I would like you to take out right now with me, if you would. It is a graph with an icon. I'm going to take your bulletin. Yeah, thanks. That's awesome. All right. It's not the small group form. It's not the talk sheet. We're going to call this the neighbor chart, and I'd like you, once you have filled it out, to place it somewhere prominent in your home. Here's what I'd like you to do with it. Imagine that the middle box in the chart is your house, okay, or where your locker is. And the other boxes are your neighbors nearest you. Now, your neighborhood may not look like this, and it's very doubtful that at school in your hallway that there's a locker right in the middle of the hallway and all the other lockers are around it. I understand that. But try to picture the eight families or the eight students who are closest to you, however they are situated. Put your address or your name in the middle square. Once you've done that, I'd like you to do the following. Now, you may be saying, but I don't have a writing stick. Are you saying that to yourself right now? Okay. If you need one, you're welcome to head over there to where the pencils are located, or maybe, yeah. Once you've put your name or address in the middle square, I'd like you to do the following. Put the number 1 in the top left-hand corner of each box. The number 1 in the top left-hand corner of each box. And write the names of the people who live in the houses represented by those boxes or who have their lockers in that area, if you would take a little bit of time to consider that. That's number 1. So basically, we're asking you, do you even know your neighbor's name? Secondly, once you've given that some thought, and we'll give you some time to start that here, but we'll let you finish that on your own time. Number 2, and the directions are going to come up behind me, and there they are. Write down some relevant information about your neighbors. Not something observable like he drives a red car or she has a mirror in her locker. Like that? No, I don't mean that. I mean something you could only know because you've talked to them. Like, he grew up in Manitoba, or her favorite band is Mumford & Sons, something like that. And then lastly, put number 3 then under 1 and 2, 3 in that left side of each box, and write down in a word or a phrase some meaningful information you'd know about each person, like what they fear most, or what motivates them, or whether or not they think the Canucks will actually make the playoffs. Something meaningful. As you begin to fill that out, and you can do that in your own time this afternoon as much as you can, I want to encourage you by saying this. Pastors Dave and Jay have done this all over the States and in Canada, and here are some of their observations. About 10% of the people who fill out the neighbor chart, 10% can fill out the names of all 8 neighbors. So 90% of us, of the 8 in our neighborhood, can't even name their neighbors. About 3% can fill out the second line for every neighbor. And then less than 1% can fill out the last line for every neighbor. Less than 1% of us would know something meaningful about all of the neighbors that are immediately situated near us. So don't feel too badly about your results, but know that there's maybe a calling here for us. And be encouraged by this. A recent poll of 2,000 Britons found a third of them, so people who live in Britain, fully a third of them couldn't pick their neighbors out of a police lineup. Weird. Odd. Maybe. Here are our 2 points of application for this week then. First, and this is my challenge to you, get to know your neighbors by name, including relevant and meaningful information. We'll do this chart again at the end of the series, and we'll see if we can't fill it out even more. Maybe hanging a purple light on the outside of your home or a picture of a purple light bulb in your locker might be a good icebreaker for you to have conversation. The second of these applications is join a series group. They will be places and people groups where you'll be able to discuss the Sunday teachings using the talk sheets. It'll also be places where you can catalyze ideas together for loving your neighbors and maybe doing some of them together, actually, and to encourage each other through this spiritual journey. Never mind that you'll get to be known better by others and to know others in the process. Right now, as it stands, I know Kelly outlined where our youth are meeting this week. Young adult are in the office with us tomorrow night, Jackie and I. And we have a strategic group of adults meeting at the Greggins on the Sardis side and Visser's on the Chilliwack side. And you're probably saying to yourself, that's not going to be enough. Right. So what we're going to do is once those groups exceed a maximum of 10 people, because it's pretty hard to relate to each other beyond 10 people, we're going to relocate you according to geography. I'll be at the groups this week to help you through that process, but it's going to be pretty cool to do. I think that's about it. Any questions? All right. Then let's close in prayer, and I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward at this time, and have a good week.